Well, today we're going to begin part two, and I should be able to complete this. The only thing that might throw that off is I will be inserting a video into this. It won't go into the teaching, but the link will be provided for those of you listening to this in the future, and you can go and take a look at that video. But this is part two of Serpents Among Us. Ooh, the reptilian race. Ooh, scary. It's also the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, in that Jesus was to bruise the head of the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman was going to bruise his heel, Jesus' heel. And there's no wounding here. There's just a whole lot of bruising going on. And we learned that Jesus was to expose the head of the serpent's organization and his doctrine. And by doing that, he was bruising the seed of the serpent, the seed. We also learned that seed of the serpent means that the serpent was able to have little babies that grew up to be vicious, horrible people. And those vicious, horrible people largely comprised the Pharisees and Sadducees in the Jewish religion. Not all. We had Nicodemus, he was a good guy. We had Paul, he was a good guy. Well, after he changed, and there were others. And so that's just a recap. And like Joe said, I do have links to these things if you're interested in further research. But what I'm about to teach is going to expose something that you probably have been wondering about for a very long time. If you've done any research whatsoever on YouTube, Google, and Wikipedia, and any of that stuff, you've probably come across the term controllers. Like, who's controlling all this stuff? And if you've dabbled into any what are called conspiracy theories, that's where that term controllers shows up. And it shows up in reference to the people or powers behind the scenes. So if you have any questions about that, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at the knowledge that you gained today. And I ask you to go research it yourself, which I've done. I haven't just taken somebody's word for it. I guarantee you. That's what takes so long. But I did. And I'm confident in sharing what I am about to share. I close part one with the Pope is Jewish. And today, I'm going to clarify that. There are different facets to consider so that you can put it together in your own mind. There's different terms that you need to know so that your understanding is complete. That's why I'm going to share those things and then play a video. The video will bring all the terminology together. It'll bring the horrific nature of this subject matter to the fore, and it'll help you adjust to this new knowledge. Okay? And I want to read some quotes regarding the Pope is Jewish. We're talking about Pope Francis. Last year, this is a quote, and it's by Maurice Pinet. Last year, we noted that priests were selected in cooperation with the Archbishops of Sao Paulo, Buenos Aires, and Bogota to attend Shabbat Rabbi Shlomo Riskin's Noahide Center in Counterfeit Israel. The Archbishop of Buenos Aires at that time is now Pope Francis. End of quote. So we We heard terms, sir, okay? And we heard Noahide sinner. We heard Noahide. We heard counterfeit Israel. Another quote. Francis and Rabbi Shlomo Riskin, the Noahide sinner guy, go way back when he was but a lowly cardinal in Argentina. Francis would send his best and brightest seminarians and priests to Israel to study with Orthodox rabbis. This program was run by Rabbi Riskin, the Noahide Center guy, under the auspices of the Center for Jewish Christian Understanding and Cooperation, CJCUC. Under the tutelage of the CJCUC, the students learn that Christianity has Talmudic roots and gets brainwashed with the latest Zionist propaganda. Maimonides, interesting word, that's a group of people and beliefs, rules, and this is another quote, that only the Jews must keep the 613 commandments for ultimate salvation. It is enough for the Gentile world to accept the 7 Noahide laws, I referenced this last time, of morality, and that came out of Laws of Kings. That was a quote from the book Laws of Kings. And so, I'm going to be saying a lot of stuff, and you'll need to replay this. I can't just keep reiterating everything I say. There's no sense in it. Everything's important. And it's all got to fit in your mind, and it might take listening to this teaching 10 times. And it might take checking the references out too. I would encourage that. So, just in summary, we've learned about a Noahide sinner. We've learned about a rabbi named Shlomo. We've learned that he was buddies with Pope Francis, the Roman religion, and Jewish. Okay? Buddies. At the top. Buddies at the top. And we learned that Francis would send his priest and seminarians to Israel to learn how to be Jewish. They'd study with the rabbis. That's a big, 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 big deal. And that's why I preface this teaching with, you know, if you've come across the term controllers, this will help you put some of that into perspective. And then the final statement was, the students learned that Christianity has Talmudic roots and get brainwashed with the latest Zionist propaganda. I'm not saying that what they're learning is right. I'm just telling you what happens there. So don't listen to this thinking, oh, well, maybe I should go do that. And then I said that the Maimonides rules that only the Jews must keep the 613 commandments for ultimate salvation. They are fully and unalterably committed to teaching laws for salvation. The Jews are required to follow 613. And this is now. This is today. This is right now. This is an integration, and it's extremely active. It's been going on since basically, I don't know if 2008 would be a good year to throw out. I know for sure 2013. Anyway, this integration is ongoing. And another quote, but we certainly must proselytize every human being to keep those seven laws. Seven laws? Ah, the Noahide laws. And I want you to become familiar with this. Why? Because Jesus was commissioned to expose the head of the serpent and his doctrine. And these seven laws comprise a majority of that Noahide doctrine. And you need to know what they are. You can't just close your eyes to this now. You've really got to become familiar, because that was Jesus' job. You know, he'd said, here's the head and here's the doctrine. Here's the head. Here's the doctrine. Here's the head. Here's the doctrine. Over and over and over. I mean, the disciples thought that he was just talking about leaven and bread. And then Jesus said, wait a minute, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, that their doctrine. And then if you put it in perspective, that the serpent, of which the Pharisees and Sadducees were kin, literally, the reptilian race, serpent, vipers, scorpions, they promoted Satan's doctrine, and that doctrine came out of that tree of knowledge, because that's where that serpent hung out in the garden. He spent his time there. And you get the wrong knowledge in your head, it'll kill you. That's how bad it is. And so when I was talking earlier about, we got to make sure we're on the right side of Calvary. Further yet, we need to be spiritually minded. We need to understand that we're living in the supernatural realm. And so success is dependent on knowledge of doctrine. You got to know, you know, what's going on. I mean, maybe you never knew of Noahide laws. Maybe you don't even want to know about them now, but I'm telling you, this is what we're facing. This is what's out there, and this is what's going to encompass all of Christendom at some point. So he says, I stopped at that quote. Oh, yeah. But we certainly must proselytize every human being to keep those seven laws. That's what Rabbi Shlomo Riskin said. And he had a post in the Jerusalem Post in 2008. And it was entitled, Every Knee Shall Bend. Boy, they sure have that twisted. Okay. Well, what are those seven Noahide laws? Let me just give them to you. Okay? Keep in mind that these are the laws that everybody is going to have to do. You don't go to... I'm moving forward in time, okay, when these are really established in Christendom via the Roman Church. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to confess that you're of any religion. You just have to do these things. That's it. That's how you get salvation when you leave this world. That's how you go to heaven. And that's what they teach. Number one, do not profane God's oneness in any way. Acknowledge that there is a single God who cares about what we are doing and desires that we take care of his world. Now, keep in mind that there are many sub-laws to these. Many. Two, do not curse your creator. No matter how angry you may be, do not take it out verbally against your creator. Number three, do not murder. The value of human life cannot be measured. To destroy a single human life is to destroy the entire world, because for that person, the world has ceased to exist. It follows that by sustaining a single human life, you are sustaining an entire universe. There's no such thing as a universe. Interesting. Anyway, number four, do not eat a limb of a living animal. And I hope you're starting to put things together because, you know, in Revelation, when the cups of wrath are pouring out and all of a sudden there's no vegetation anymore, plants won't grow anymore, what's that really going to do? Respect the life of all God's creatures. As intelligent beings, we have a duty not to cause undue pain to other creatures. Number five, do not steal. Whatever benefits you receive in this world, make sure that none of them are at the unfair expense of someone else. Number six, harness and channel the human libido. Incest, adultery, rape, and homosexual relationships are forbidden. The family unit is at the foundation of human society. Sexuality is the fountain of life, and so nothing is more holy than the sexual act. So too, when abused, nothing can be more debasing and destructive to the human being. So says those who debase and destroy humans by those methods. Number seven, establish courts of law and ensure justice in our world. Boy, if that isn't open-ended. With every small act of justice, we are restoring harmony to our world, synchronizing it with a supernal order. I don't know what supernal means. That is why we must keep the laws established by our government. It sounds like the Living Bible, Romans 13:1, God help us all, for the country's stability and harmony. Quote, anyone who keeps these basic rules for that reason, regardless of race, nationality, or culture, is considered a righteous person and granted eternal life upon leaving this world. And I quote again, if a human being accepts and strives to fulfill the Noahide laws because they were given by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, I'd sure like to see those, he or she is counted among the righteous of the nations and acquires a portion in the next world. Conversion to Judaism requires, among other things, acceptance of the 613 commandments enjoined upon the Jewish people. A prospective Jew must be accepted as such by a fully qualified Orthodox religious court. And this is a quote I took out of a video I watched. The idolatry law, if you believe that Jesus is a divine Messiah, you are to be put to death. So anybody that believes in the Trinity, once these laws come into effect, will be put to death. Wow, huh? Pope Francis, the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in the early 2010s, was sent to the Noahide Law Center. He is a Jesuit, a Jewish infiltrator to help bring the Roman Catholics into the Noahide Law. And so now we're shifting from those Noahide laws to the subject of Jesuits. And I don't know how much you know about them, but I can tell you that they were and are a cursed organization by just about everybody you know. George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, Bonaparte, and the list will just flow forever. because they infiltrate in every, or by any means possible, painters and carpenters and teachers and poets and cooks and everything. They infiltrate everywhere to exercise control and to report all their findings back to, ultimately, the general, the Jesuit general. And the Jesuit general is in charge of everything, literally everything. And so the Jesuits were established by basically upon Judaism, and most of the early members were Jewish. Jews flocked to join it for some reason. And the Jesuits were considered the military arm of the Roman Catholics. And there is nothing good about them. They have jobs of assassinations. And if somebody's out of line, they're the ones to take care of him, whoever gets to him first. And so this is stuff you can find out. I mean, it's all common knowledge on the internet. And so... I should just keep reading this, but I just want to at least let you have an idea of Jesuit. You know, I wanted to be a Jesuit. I actually tried to become a Jesuit. I didn't know anything about it. Glad I didn't. But it was something that I looked into. So, regarding Jesuits, then I have three different quotes. Zionist Israel is the creation of the Jesuit order. Its purpose is to secure Jerusalem for the Jesuits and their infallible Pope, that he may receive worldwide worship from Solomon's rebuilt temple. Quote, crypto-Judaism, now this is a new term, crypto-Judaism. So if you take Judaism, the word Judaism, put a dash in front of it, and put the word crypto in front of that. That's what I'm saying. Crypto-Judaism is the secret adherence to Judaism while publicly professing to be of another faith. Can you imagine? Just for a second, you know, like, if you're a Jew, you pretend to be a Christian. Or Muslim, or something, to hide that you're really a Jew. Crypto-Judaism. So, professing to be of another faith, practitioners are referred to as crypto-Jews. And that word crypto comes from the Greek word kryptos, and it means hidden. Quote, the first Jesuits were crypto-Jews. And this is what you need to understand. Loyola, Ignatius Loyola, he's the one that started it. He was a Jew. And he was pretending to be Roman Catholic. The first Jesuits were crypto-Jews, including the founder, Ignatius Loyola, a crypto-Jew of the occult Kabbalah. He was a member of the Jewish Illuminati order in Spain. He became very active in the Roman Catholic Church as a cover. Loyola's secretary, named Polanco, was of Jewish descent, and his second was also of Jewish descent. Jews were attracted to the Jesuit order and joined in large numbers. And I'm going to have Chris play that video. Make sure you can see it if you're on Zoom. And I want to just say one more thing. This is pretty heavy stuff, what we're looking at. Okay? And I would encourage you to use our ever-friendly Google and search a leader's name in your country, in your state, in your city, and somehow put a search phrase in there, is so-and-so a Jesuit? Or is so-and-so Jewish? You go do your research, and you'll come up with different phrases to search. You will be stunned at the number of Jesuits at the top of our government hierarchy. And they, if they're Jesuit, they're furthering the Jesuit cause, the military arm of the Romans' cause, to exercise absolute control via the seven Noahide laws. And that's just the beginning. I don't know if I need to tell you that Hitler designed his SS organization completely on the Jesuit order. And Rommel or Heimlich, those guys, especially Heimlich, or Himmler, whatever his name was, the SS guy, worked hand in hand with the Pope and the Jesuits to come up with their structure. And also, it was out of the Vatican that the book Mein Kampf was written. All Hitler did was sign it. But all of that was promoted by the Jesuits. And so I'm just telling you stuff that you can go find on your own, and you'll be blown away to see stuff like that. I'm not asking you to go spend the rest of your life researching it. Just understand what's going on and has gone on, and try to fill in the blanks of what I'm sure you've wanted to know, like, who are these controllers? Like, even look at our present situation, our present medical situation, and the heads of the different organizations, who are the voices you hear today on news and things like that. And if you go and Google who these people are, you'll start to get a really good feel of how intertwined the Jesuits, the Romans, and the Jews are in literally everything that's befalling us today. With that said, I'd like Chris to play that video. I wanted to sum up everything that I was saying, and I want you to walk away knowing crypto-Jews and Jesuits, and all of that is like a subset of what Jesus exposed. The Pharisaic doctrines, the Sadduceic doctrines, and basically the serpent's take on knowledge. And that's what we face today. And that's what we have to deal with today. And that's why we renew our minds to the Word. Because the only way you're going to have life and peace is to have God's Word in your mind. I don't want you walking around thinking, you know, that you can just be, you know, baptizing down at the river all day long. I want you to understand that, you know, we're in a, I guess in a way, we're soldiers, you know, we're agents, supernatural agents of God. And our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And maybe that's going to give us a different view of what strongholds really are. The strongholds of the Pharisees, the strongholds of their doctrine, the strongholds of the serpent's take on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so I hope that did that. And I want you to keep in mind that not every Pharisee was evil. We are told about Nicodemus, Gamaliel, and Paul. Ezra told us, and I'll share this in a minute, but Ezra told us that the contaminators were the chief rulers among them. This is top down. And, you know, I just don't know how to couch this so well, but, and forgive me for just being inadequate on this, but I keep saying down at the river. You know, the feel-good days are gone, in my opinion. Although you can certainly spark them with music, and they're comforting and wonderful, and I'm not saying to avoid them. Please don't think I am. But I'm actually trying to help you change your mindset, like your paradigm, and to understand that the more you understand the doctrines that Jesus exposed, the better equipped you'll be to walk through this life. You know, we're in the end days before the departure. And we go through labor pains every day. And the onus is on the exposing of the head and the doctrine so that we are equipped to get through this the best we can. And I've told everybody, I've said, look, you know, your job is to pray that we can live a quiet and peaceful life. And in the meantime, it's business as usual. But our business now is understanding the greater depths of spirituality that Jesus himself exposed. So that's why I want to read Matthew chapter 16, part of it to you, because Jesus spent a lot of time exposing this stuff to the people that would listen. He was hounded by the Pharisees and Sadducees. They chased him around everywhere. Even when he was baptized, I mean, they wouldn't let him go. Matthew 16, verse 1 through 12. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, verse 3, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Think of the reptilian race. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to reptiles. Okay? There's a term out there called shape-shifting, which really sounds out there. But these entities with supernatural powers, we already know that Lucifer can appear as the angel of light, but he's a reptile. We already know that what you see might not be what they really look like. We already know that. So apply it here. But he was talking to reptiles. He called them scorpions, vipers, serpents. And so think like that. Like, that's who he's talking to. And I guess I want you to get past the sandals and long hair and a pretty white robe. Okay. And I'm sure he had a pretty white robe. I'm not saying he didn't, but he had a job to do. And it was prophesied of what it was going to be like walking through that. You know, Ezekiel said, you're going to be walking through a land of scorpions. Well, here it is. Verse 4, A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it. So here he's clarifying what this reptilian race is like. They're wicked and adulterous. Well, I'm sure you know what those words mean. And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. By the way, that was already given. They didn't accept any of the word. And then he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So what we had just experienced, and I'm meaning Jesus, and then what we saw was the leaven, where it says in verse 1, they came and they tempted, desiring him that he would show a sign from heaven. That is leaven. That is leaven. That's all that happened. It's leaven. Okay. Verse 7, and they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And he even said that in verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. How many times have we read that, thought it, remembered it, heard it, imagined it? Whited sepulchres, and just all the things that come back in our minds regarding the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And our mindset was basically long hair and sandals. But Jesus stood there in the supernatural sense with long hair and sandals and a white robe. And he was confronting reptiles. Reptiles. Do you think we'll ever get to the place where we believe that? Where we believe that in the garden, a reptile, not a snake, it says serpent, it's a reptile. A reptile came to Eve. A reptile. Do you think we'll ever believe that that Genesis 3:15 is right when it says seed of the serpent, that the serpent has seed and had little babies in order to promote his doctrine? So he had little baby reptiles, and they grew up vicious, wicked, and adulterous. Adulterous, 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 adulterous. Now, there could be a spiritual side to that, obviously, but there also could be the, I don't even know if I want to call it carnal side. Because these are supernatural entities. And that's why Ezekiel warned Jesus about that, in prophecy. You're going to be walking among scorpions, but don't worry. Don't be afraid. Verse 12, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And there you have it. We need to beware of that too, because of the prophecies that say that these Pharisees are going to come back out. See, the serpent has laid in the grass for however many years since Christ, fairly quiet from our perspective. And now he's raising his head. Now a lot of things are at play, including what I just shared with you about the Roman Church, the Jesuits being in the chief ruler positions, and the Jewish, the rabbis and all that being in the chief ruling positions. And I mentioned last time about the evangelical leaders, how they're accepting this and they're pushing the seven Noahide laws and living by works instead of salvation by faith. So it's all happening. You know, there's prophecy about the angels are going to grab up the wheat and shake it, and the tares are going to fall out. But that's called a gathering. Those things are going to be gathered together, and there is a gathering going on even now. And I've pointed you to South America, where you can see this in action. I've mentioned Buenos Aires, Sao Paulo, and other places down in Mexico too. It's all there. So I'm exposing you to what the controllers are doing. Okay? And I'm showing you from the Bible what I believe is the source, the true source. You know, the Jesuits can take all the credit they want, and the Jesuit general can take all the credit he wants, but the truth is Genesis 3:15 is the source. And Genesis 6 was the launch of that. The Nephilim and then the giants that were born. The serpent's doctrine is deadly. As we saw with Eve, it will kill. We weren't really taught that. I don't ever remember anybody saying something like that about what happened in the garden with the serpent and Eve. You know, it was just going down, okay, here's the six steps, you know. Omit a word, contradict, and all that. That was it. But the truth is that when those reptiles speak, their words are so black that they have the power to kill. Satan wasn't interested in the tree of life. Not at all. He has no chance for redemption, neither the others. He was interested in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And my admonition, according to Jesus' revelation of Pharisee doctrine and Sadducee doctrine, is don't partake of it. Don't seek after signs, for one thing. Okay? It'll kill you. Be wise. Matthew chapter 10. So what this means to us in continuing Jesus Christ's legacy is that we need to be aware of the Pharisees' doctrine. Have you ever looked in the Gospels in that light? I need to be aware of what Pharisaic doctrine is. I don't ever remember being taught that. But it's true. Think about it. And now I know I'm repeating myself. Genesis 3:15, Genesis 6, and Ezra 9, I told you, the chief rulers, verse 2. And so Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. So these reptiles are as vicious as wolves. And you know it's talking about their characteristics, right? Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. This is for you. We were taught that the Gospels isn't written to us, but I'm telling you something. We're facing this right now. And it has all to do with the job Jesus was given from the prophecy of Genesis 3:15. Verse 17, but beware of men. So they're going to look like men. You know, it's just like God's angels. They look like men. They're always called men in the Bible. They're just not men like we are. They have spirit. driving them. We have soul driving us. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. Oh my, do you remember the seventh Noahide law where they established a justice system? Wow. Because even just a little bit of justice is going to do a world of good. That's my take on their view. Deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. Boy, if this doesn't put an onus on it, let me put on my evangelical hat here. Dear friend, as you are listening to this teaching, if you are not born again, if you have not confessed Jesus as Lord, and if you have not believed that God raised him from the dead, don't waste your time anymore. Confess Jesus as your Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, because the departure is at hand. The Christians who do not become Christian before the departure will have a chance to become Christian after the departure. And yet they will face a horrific life. And at the very basis of this horrific life are those seven Noahide laws and this court system, which is based on what the Jesuits have already established in the Roman Church. And you'll not be able to run away from it. So avoid it. Become born again. Join God's family. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Yeah. Don't waste your time now. Get busy. In verse 18, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And the Gentiles? Well, why against the Gentiles? Because the Pharisaic dynasty is utterly interwoven into the top political and religious structures of our world. That's like the point I'm trying to make. And that's what Jesus already knew when he confronted them so long ago. Nothing's changed. It's just more of it, I guess. But it's still run by the same system. But he exposed it. Jesus exposed the Pharisees, wolves comprising the Nephilim race. This was bruising the head, the top of the organization. Do you think he wants to be exposed? Do you think he wants people to know what he does? Nobody wants to believe this, right? But what about you? I mean, this is going to change your life. Because now you know. Now you understand. It's like a completion. It's like the afterglow, you know, to a beautiful act. And it's integral to everything you've ever done as a Christian. It's just the end of it. It's just the part way down the road, way down past Calvary, way down past the other side of Calvary, closer to us, way down into the spiritual realm and the walk as a super Christian conqueror with all nine manifestations in operation. Now you're at the end. Now you're into the very last moments of that Christian walk before eternity begins. Well, he exposed that Nephilim race, and that leader does not want to be exposed. Well, that's where Satan's seat is located. The serpent's seed introduced the Pharisee bloodline. Luke chapter 10. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The head of the organization was like a streak of light. Lightning fall from heaven. You know, if I ever asked you to tell me all the different names and ways Satan is referred to in the Bible, that would be one of them. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you know that that's what Ezekiel said too? And maybe you see this in a new light now. You know, I know you didn't think that you were going to walk around possibly stepping on serpents and scorpions. You know, so you had to buy a really good pair of shoes. But maybe you tried to understand it from the Israelites wandering in the wilderness and giving up faith and getting bit. And maybe that's where you took it. But I bet you never took it to the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus exposed. And that's all I'm trying to do for you. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. That is how Jesus bruised the serpent with his feet. That's what bruised his heel. He treaded, it says. And the treading is what exposed him. Well, I'm going to stop there. And we'll have a part 3. And I think I've said enough, but I know I've really loaded you up with some crazy stuff. And I want you to sort it out. I want you to spend time thinking this through, but from Jesus' paradigm, from the Messiah's paradigm, the Messiah had to do that job. Otherwise, he wasn't the Messiah. That was how everybody knew he was the Messiah, because he exposed the head of the organization and his doctrine. And so, if that's all you get your hands around, that's great. But I guess I'll have a part 3. And in that part 3, I will be able to give you examples of the doctrines. And I gave you the 7 Noahide laws, and I showed you one after that too. And I think you'll be better informed, as Joy prayed for, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I think that this is all toward that worthy endeavor. And I'm not suggesting that you dismiss the comfort zone, because we all need that. But isn't there comfort in knowing what's really going on? If you're an Ephesians-minded believer, there would be. Because that covers all of this. That covers being enlightened. That covers a balanced walk. That covers our weapons. And why would you need that if you're just dealing with, you know, Joe Blow walking down the street, you know? Why do you need all that power? Why do you need those weapons? Well, when you face doctrine of devils, you are facing unredeemable words, unredeemable entities that are called in the Bible scorpions and serpents and vipers and wolves They're reptiles. It's a reptilian race. And so there are serpents among us. And that's why you have all of that. Jesus wasn't just long hairs, a white robe, and sandals, which is all most people know, if they even know that. He was a man on a mission to expose, as was listed in Genesis 3:15. And interestingly enough, that plays into our walk as well. Those disciples, a few days later, became born again Christians, fully equipped to carry out what they'd seen Jesus do and what then they were called to do. They were surrounded by Pharisees and Sadducees. They were everywhere. Who then, sometime later, formed the Jesuit order so that they could infiltrate the entire Gentile world with the Roman religion, which is basically pseudo-Judaism. And so they faced like the very crux of that evil knowledge coming out of that tree from the seed of the serpent. And then I said the serpent kind of stayed in the grass for all that time since Christ, but now he's rearing his ugly head. And now they're back. The Pharisees are back. And it's all new information to us, but they're back. And they're infiltrating into evangelical circles like you wouldn't believe. We know that our president has I don't even know what they call it, a council, a religious council of 30-some-odd religious leaders. And let me tell you, the Pharisees are in there, and so are the Jesuits. And if that didn't tell you anything, I don't know what does. And I just hope that you go and do some research. Hope you go and take the names of the people who are running your organizations at the top in your country and just put the name in, is so-and-so Jesuit, is so-and-so a Jew, is so-and-so Catholic, and you will find out. You will understand that when I say they're back, the Pharisees are back. And I don't know what it means to us. I don't know. I know it's bad. And it's just, I mean, I have my opinions about what they're doing. Obviously, it's contrary to the Word of God that we know. But I don't know how bad the labor pains are going to get. But I know we're going to face it. I know we already do with people who are in the New Age movement, because that is one of the subsets, along with Masons and Jesuits and Muslims and every other religion under the great Jesuit general. And the Pope, see, the Pope's not number one because he's a Jesuit. He has to report to the Jesuit general, who's number one. So who's number one, you know? And anyway, you have this whole subset, this whole hierarchy that is infiltrating now. It's slithering down into the channels of our world all around us. Everywhere we go, and it's all based on that evil knowledge and lies, and that salvation is by works, not by faith. Righteousness is by works, not by faith. So how's it going to affect us? I don't know. I just know it's nasty, and when you run into New World, New Age people, and you have to listen to what they say, and it makes you sick at your stomach, I know you're not going to become what they are. But I know you got to listen to it. Now you know why it's happening. I guess that would make it easier to live, you know, knowledge. So that's it.